In this podcast, I would like to talk to you about some reasons for swimming and training alone. Now, you may have come into total immersion as a non-swimmer, and so, of course, you weren't swimming at all before, or you were swimming a little bit along and struggling and not having a very good time of it. And so if you were in that case, you probably were swimming alone already. And then there's other people, might be you as well, that were already swimming. Maybe you were training for triathlon, or you were a swimmer at some point, or a competitive swimmer when you were younger, or you've been swimming along with a master's club and you were swimming with other people, or you'd get together with others occasionally and do your practices because, you know, some people just don't know what to do, or it's more fun to be with others so that you can tune out of the discomforts of training. But once you come in and start studying and practicing swimming in the TI way, you realize there's a lot to focus on. There's a lot to pay attention to. You're trying to either correct or protect your movement patterns, and that takes your attention. That takes your full attention. So that's, and right there is a reason, one of the biggest reasons why we probably want to swim alone most of the time and train alone, is because our attention needs to be on our body and on the environment that we're interacting with, the water, and taking in that feedback so that we can make adjustments, or we can protect what's going well and keep it consistent. And if you have other people around, you know, they want to chat, they want to say hi, they want to wait too long at the wall, and you're eager to get back in and do the next repetition. So that's one scenario where it's kind of annoying to be with other people. And then, or if you went to a master's group or a group practice where somebody else is assigning the activities, those activities very likely are not going to line up with how you want or need to practice on your skills. Outside of TI, most practices are very quantity and effort oriented, and very little regard or understanding of how to integrate skill work into that. And so the sets are such that people are often finding they're distracted from focusing on their skills because they're having to work too hard to try to adapt and keep up with the quantities and the kind of fatigue and that those group practices are trying to induce. So, you know, working alone obviously is just going to allow you to do what you need to do, what your body needs you to do. Now, of course, the challenge of working alone is that you need to know what you need to do. You need to know how to practice. You need to create your own structure, your own agenda. And you need to work on getting better and better at setting the right level of challenge for your fitness and skills. So you don't want something that's too difficult that causes you to fail or kick out of the mode that you're trying to work in. You don't want something that causes you to fail too much. And you don't want something that is so easy that you're actually not stimulating really good growth out of it. So you want to find that sweet spot where the challenge is in the right amount for your skills and the right amount for your fitness. So that takes a little practice. It takes some understanding of what you're aiming for. It takes some understanding of how to train for fitness and skills. And we try to impart that to you in our lessons, in our live lessons, and also on our dojo. So you learn how to practice. And once you do, practice is something that really occupies your interest and your attention fully. So I definitely prefer to practice and swim on my own so that I can train at the intensity that I want to train. I can focus on what I need to focus on. And quite frankly, I don't rest at the wall very much. So if I'm doing long distance practice, I'm doing active rest. I do a hard set, but then I immediately turn around. I just keep on moving, although I may slow down and swim very gently, but I just don't hang out at the wall at all on long distance swims. So I don't give my neighbors in the pool the opportunity to stop and chat with me, because that almost always spells disaster. Well, not disaster, but it really slows down my heart rate and my blood pressure, and I lose, the engine cools down too much. And so I've kind of lost the warm-up that I spent a half an hour creating. So I don't like to stop at the wall for that reason. And also, as an open water swimmer, I practice resting while moving. So I don't rest. You don't rest in open water by sitting still. You just change your speed and change your intensity. So I practice that. Even in sprint work, when I'm doing shorter distance, high intensity work, I may rest at the wall, but I keep my body low in the water. I keep my mouth there. I look down the lane. I don't make eye contact with people. I'm concentrating on my exhale, my breathing, and I'm pondering what I'm going to do, what I just did, and what I'm going to do on the next length. So I'm not very social either when I'm doing short work and I have reasons to, when I need to rest at the wall. So yeah, most of my practices are alone, because I need to practice with my topics and at the intensities that are appropriate for that workout. But every once in a while, I might find myself swimming with others. And when I'm in that mode, I just turn off my agenda for myself and just really work at adapting to whatever that person wants to do or needs to do. I don't try to negotiate too much. I just focus on them and do their thing with them. And then when I'm alone, I'll do my thing. And that way I can not have to sit there explaining too much or find any stress or friction with what other people are doing. Okay, well, I'll talk about swimming with others in another podcast. But here, I just want to encourage you that, you know, when you're training alone and you know how to train, it's going to occupy your attention, and it's just so much more interesting, because you're now absorbed in the process of executing movements and doing certain activities, and you're paying attention to the feedback, and then you're assessing what just happened, then you're making adjustments to what you just did. And I mean, that just takes up all your attention, and time just goes by so much more quickly, and much, much more enjoyable practices this way. I mean, the best of both worlds would be to be with another TI swimmer who's of a similar ability and wants to work on the same projects as you. And then you both could do the same practice with the same kind of weight and with the same kind of intentions and same kind of attention on what you're doing. So that's definitely fun. But we'll talk about that in a different podcast. All right? So I just want to encourage you. It's all right to be alone. It's probably necessary to train and swim mostly on your own, just so that you can do what your body needs to do. So, all right, that's my encouragement. And all right, enjoy your alone swimming.